Praise the Lord. We have heard that the boys are studying Joshua this period. And I kind of took to the way Joshua enforced the rules. Here at camp, I noticed that there are certain rules that I haven't observed all my life, and I was a bad boy. I apologize. I know that sometimes we have different ideas, and we come to the leaders and we say, well, we ought to do it this way. And but we find out that all along, all the years, that what has been applied as guidelines in this place is to keep holiness unto the Lord. And you may think that these are rough measures here, but I just want to read the guidelines of cooperation here in the first chapter of Joshua. And they answer Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. These are the tribal leaders. As Joshua takes over the leadership, and they're going to go into conquering the promised land, and you might call them his generals, they surrounded him, and they promised cooperation and a way of enforcing it. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Isn't that cruel of me? So would you obey if you're going to lose your head tomorrow, you know, for real? Of course we will. Very convincing. Well, it didn't happen, as far as I know. Certain people that disobeyed the Lord, the Lord judged in various ways. And there's one even more cruel in Nebuchadnezzar's story. If anyone speaks ill of the God of Israel, he was one of these guys that was a cheerleader for the Lord. He would get all inspired through Daniel, and he would do a royal dance and say, wow, what a wonderful God this is, when his dreams were revealed and he got a little bit of a glimpse of understanding of there is a God that's more powerful than I am. Anyway, but he put it this way, if anyone speaks amiss of the God of Israel, let him be cut in pieces and his house be made a dunghill. You all know what a dunghill is? It's a manure pile. Remember the pigs?
Oink, oink.
Now, isn't that cruel? Man alive. He really had authority, and he had the authority to do so. I'm sure in his kingdom some of these things happened, and people learned to cooperate. But I want to go back to Joshua. Why is it that these generals were so persistent and desirous to have the will of God done now, and let's not fool around anymore? They had gone through 40 years in the desert because some people didn't want to obey the Lord, didn't believe the Lord, doubted the Lord. That's the reason why what is given, that they could not enter the promised land, because they feared the enemies, and they made them bigger and bigger as they talked about them. And there were two, of course, as you know, the story, Joshua and Caleb, that stood up for the Lord, and they said, we are able. But there were multitudes that said, we can't. And they had their ups and downs, 40 years as a result of that. Now, if you were 10 years old when you left Egypt, you were 50 years old when you got to the promised land, you know, that's not so hot. You didn't have time to plant your fig trees and your peach trees and all, and raise cattle and have a nice farm by now. After 40 years, were wasted in the desert. And so these guys here said, enough is enough. We're going to go into this promised land, and there'll be no fooling around. I always assume, maybe you do too, that when the Lord, the Bible talks about the people of Israel, and they were in Egypt, they were slaves, they were delivered from Egypt, and now they're on their way to the promised land. And I have the impression at first that they were all saints. And you find out they were ain'ts. They were not. They were carrying their little idols. Why? I'm starting to sound like Brother Ernie here. Why? Why play with the promises of God? Why waste all this time? And all through the 40 years, the best song they had was to complain about everything. There's no water. There's no food. Oh, I wish I had the cucumbers. Personally, I like garlic pickles, waitresses, in case they have any. We have on Jamaica Avenue a Polish deli. They have buckets of them. Anyway, can you imagine? And when the Bible talks about how they really had it in Egypt, they were being tortured. They were being whipped on the job. It's hard enough to be a slave and work at something, but to be beaten, and some of them were so weak they couldn't walk anymore. They had it rough, and they forgot. We forget where we've been delivered from, don't we? And it's great that we are reminded of the goodness of the Lord, and we make a determination like here, that from now on we're not going to fool around anymore, but we will serve the Lord, and we will encourage others to be faithful to the Lord. Now, we know that these measures, as far as I know, were not carried out to that extreme. But we know the story, and we know the first city that was captured, of course, was Jericho. And the first lesson that they needed to learn, how many million people do they say there are? There's 600,000 men of 20 years old and up. And that must have been, Brother Paul, you're a theologian, about a few million. At least. You try to get 3 million of Jews to keep their mouths shut. Any Jews here? I don't want to offend anyone politically. I love the Jews. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I met some people on the way out through Austria and Germany and coming over here. They're God's people. And you know what? They forgot. So leave it there. But what was it? What does it say in the scripture study to be quiet somewhere? You know, I should know all these references, but, you know, after 80 years, you forget a few things. Study to be quiet. That's somewhere in the New Testament. If I had Mabel here, she'd find it on her smartphone and have the answer for me right away. You know Mabel, right? She's one of our precious sisters in Canarsie. She knows her stuff, and she is an excellent teacher. Praise the Lord. But what is it about that, about quietness? We are taught quietness. I know we're taught to praise the Lord, like this weekend, to shout, to worship, to lift up the Lord, glorify Him. Then the Bible turns around sometimes, once in a while, and we find out that there's power and strength and restoration in total silence. And you know the story. I'm not going to go into it. I don't know what Brother Ernie has planned before now and 12 o'clock. But they went around the city once a day for 6 days. Is that right? Quiet. Silent. Seventh day, seven times. So let's do your math. 7 plus 6 is 13. I wonder if that's why people think 13 is an unlucky number. I don't know. But we're not superstitious here. And then that last day, the last walk, the victory came because of obedience. And we're on the way. We're marching around Jericho in these days. And we want to keep our eyes on the Lord and claim the victory and do whatever the Lord tells us to do to attain it. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
That stillness is not only an outward quiet where the cessation of noise or talk, but it's an inner stillness. Amen. And if we could get still enough, not just verbally, but if we could get still enough on the inside, sometimes we can be maybe speaking or worshiping or praising the Lord even on the outside, and yet be so still on the inside that God can come to us and speak to us. And when you get quiet enough on the inside, it's when you can hear His voice. The Bible says that's a still, small voice. You know, oftentimes, as we've just heard, when we're very still in every way, we just sit quietly before Him. Why, we get quiet not only on the outside, but inwardly. You can be quiet on the outside and inside. A million things are going through your head and through your heart and through your mind, from shopping lists to the test you have to take tomorrow and everything else. But if we can get quiet on the inside and let that voice of God speak to our hearts, He will. He does. Thank God for it. Could we take in our white books, sing the song number 38 together? Number 38 in the white book.
Blessing.